Welcome to the Messy Walk Podcast with Pastor Adam Cook, where our goal is to have a genuine and authentic conversation about the Christian faith journey and what a messy walk with Jesus really looks like. Make sure to follow us for future episodes that will be posted regularly each Wednesday. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Hey, welcome to the Messy Walk Podcast. I'm your host, Steph, here, Pastor Adam.
What's up? I'm here. Hey, hey.
Hey, hey. We had some difficulties going into this episode today.
I know, right?
And we did last week.
Last week, we didn't have no lights.
Yeah.
Right?
We had that, like, what you call a stage light.
Yeah, I guess
type
like
thing.
Like a recording. Camera light, recording yeah. light. Well, I don't know what you
That's
call
probably
it.
The better, like, camera light.
Yeah, it's like a camera light.
It's bright, but...
Yeah, but it's nice to have real lights back on.
Yeah.
And then last week, after we finished recording, we had some technical difficulties. And then just now, we had some technical difficulties. So we were worried about this not working. But it's up. It's working. God is good.
Yes.
And we're back.
Yeah.
We're back to continue our series. What are we in, Steph?
We're in the new series called Things I Will Not Keep Apologizing For.
Yeah, and this is personal to me. So I am... if Steph wants to add some in, she can. But these are things that I'm not going to apologize for anymore. Like, I've had some things that I've just been awakened to over the last several years, and I've been talking about doing this episode for a little while. Of, you know, I just things that I have apologized for in the past that I shouldn't, or that I have been tempted to. And so last week we talked about the fact that I'm not going to keep apologizing for preaching the Bible, right? And it's not like I have actually done that out loud. It's just that I have felt, I don't know, pressure to, whether that's from the enemy, it's my own sinfulness, right? Or from people, pressure to not preach the truth of the word. And last week we talked about why that's just a no-go, and I'm not going to apologize for preaching the truth of the word, even if it is offensive, because, you know, the Bible is offensive mm-hmm. to us and our sinful nature, right? And, you know, that is one of the things that the Holy Spirit is consistently doing, is offending our sinful nature, our human nature, and convicting us, right? And so we're not going to apologize for preaching the truth. And then today, and today's the second one of this series, and it's episode what?
237.
Mm-hmm. Today and the next three, so this one and the next one and the next one, 2, 3, and 4, I'm very excited about. And they're pretty, I don't know, I think they're pretty aggressive. So the easy one was I will not apologize for preaching the word and the truth and the scripture. But today's is what, Steph? You say it, and then I can talk about it.
I will not apologize for saying no.
Oh, I will not apologize for saying no. Now, I'm going to give this from a pastor's perspective, and not just a generalized pastor's perspective. I'm going to give it from mine. However, I think there's some golden nuggets in here for every single person, mm-hmm. no matter what you do or who you are, especially if you're a Christ follower listening. There's some nuggets in here that you got to take and put in your own context just a little bit outside of the pastor context. Because I would assume that most of us need help saying no and knowing that it's okay to say no. So that's the perspective that I'm going to come from. And this one has been really hard for me. So let me just jump into it. I'm going to try to hang to my notes somewhat because I can go off track on this particular topic. And we actually have a lot of notes for this series for some reason. I don't know why I've written a lot of notes for the series, but we got a lot.
Yeah.
Sometimes you and I do stuff and we got like... no notes.
Like half a page or less.
Yeah, less, right. A couple lines. But so mine's coming from this pastor's perspective. So I'm a pastor, so I want to give you a little secret. And this secret might offend you a little bit, but people expect pastors to always say yes. Always.
That's true.
And it's yes to meetings, right? Somebody needs to talk. It's yes to phone calls. Now it's also yes to text messages and the godforsaken messenger messages, which I absolutely despise. It's, you know, we're expected to say yes to counseling sessions. So everybody that's got a problem and when they have the problem, right? Not a while later when they have the problem, but when they have the problem right now. And it's interesting how like pastors are expected to say yes immediately when you would not treat virtually any other appointment in your life that way.
That's true.
You know what I mean? Like if you need to go to the doctor, you would call and they would tell you when the availability was and you would make it work, right? Or you would go to a different doctor. but you wouldn't be like, oh, I cannot believe that the doctor cannot see me tomorrow, right? But in the pastor world, in the church world, it's a little different. We're supposed to say yes to emergencies as they pop up, which is virtually all the time. If the church has any size to it whatsoever, somebody is in some emergency every single day, if not multiple times a day, multiple people a day. Visits in hospitals, homes, nursing homes, events that people have in their lives, weddings, funerals, just generalized help that they need or responsibilities that they have to take care of. I mean, it's just an expectation that the pastor says yes always and to everything. And there's this unspoken expectation in ministry that pastors are and should be always available. And it is, I got to tell you, it is suffocating, right? People don't usually say it out loud. Sometimes they do, right? Sometimes they say it out loud. But it sort of lives underneath the surface. It's this tension that you feel underneath the surface. And it's like these things that are sort of in whispers, or at least in people's hearts and minds. And I'm constantly worried about people thinking this, you know, when I have to say no, or when the situation is presented and somebody asks you to do something or help in some way. But it's this like whispers underneath the surface of the pastor should be here, right? We're going through this. We're dealing with this. The pastor should be here. There's an event at the church. And because there's an event at the church, the pastor should be here. Why is the pastor not here for this event? I have fought that particular one. I'm off track now already. But I fought that particular one about things as small as, and it's on my mind because I just announced it last week, men's breakfasts. Right? Like it's been, well, the pastor should be here. Well, why he isn't here? You know, and there was a season where we just happened to have something with the kids, sports, something or another, on those Saturday mornings that the men's breakfasts fell for like a year and a half period, right? And I wasn't at them. And then I began to actually hear it out loud, like the pastor should be here. Why is the pastor not here, right? These little whispers of the pastor should call, right? Like if you're going through this or this has happened or this loss has happened, well, the pastor should call and check in. You know, you had a fender bender, broke your arm, somebody fell down, and the pastor should call and say something. Or the pastor should come. The pastor should be here and come to these things. Or this one happens all the time. The pastor should fix this. There's this whisper behind the scenes of this is going on with my teenager. This is going on with my husband or our marriage. The pastor should step in and fix this. And sometimes those things are said out loud, but mostly they're just this whispery sort of under the surface murmuring of expectation that's there that I should always be available.
My goodness.
It's tough. And when I talk about stuff like this, I really don't want to sound like I'm making the world revolve around me.
No.
Right? That's not the goal. And no. I'm also, when I say stuff like this too, I'm also not saying that other people don't have hard jobs.
Right.
Right? Or that this doesn't apply to other people. But that's the expectation. And the truth is, we really want to be there. Like, the real hard truth is, as a pastor, that this undeniable call that I feel God has called me to do, right? And one of the reasons why I am pastoring is because I feel like God has called me to do it.
Yeah.
And I have to be obedient to him. And that's the main reason, right? And also, I also feel like that if I didn't do what he called me to do, I'd be miserable. So there is this truth behind all that is that I really want to say yes. I really want to say yes to all those things. Like, I really want to be there for people in their times of need or whatever they may have. I want to be able to show up to the church events and spend time with people. You know, I entered into ministry because God called me, but because also I genuinely care very deeply, right? I think those two things go together. I don't know if God necessarily is going to call somebody who does not genuinely actually care about his people. You know what I mean? And as I've pastored longer and longer and longer, because this is year 26, my care and concern for people has grown deeper, right? Like I really do care for them. And so as he's grown my call, he's also grown the depth of concern that I have for people, and specifically my people, right? But not just my people, other people. Sometimes I care too deeply, and so I end up carrying people's grief and pain and struggles and crises, you know, all the time, on my back, on my shoulders, on my mind, on my heart. It just weighs in all the time. And I know I should give those things to the Lord. It's not about me. I'm just saying sometimes I begin to care too much, that I care and think about and stir on, you know, all those things all the time. And that's not somebody else's fault, but I'm just kind of pointing out that when I'm about to say no to things, it doesn't mean that I don't care, right?
Right.
That's not the reason behind it. And it's not saying, hey, leave me out of your problems. They're not my problems. And that's not the case, right? I fully believe in Galatians 6:4 or 4:6. I'm mixing them up. That we have to carry each other's burdens. We talked about it on the podcast before, right? Mm-hmm. That we as a church body carry each other's burdens. And so as a pastor, I am supposed to carry each other's burdens, you know, other people's burdens too, and then mine. So by saying I'm not going to keep apologizing for saying no, I'm not trying to say that I don't care. Did you find it, Steph?
Yeah.
Is it 6:4?
It's in the six. Yeah, it's 6:2.
6:2. Oh, man, I messed that up bad.
Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ.
Yes.
Yeah.
6:2. My bad. So, I fully believe that. Like, yeah. I want to live by that scripture that we have to assist each other when there's burdens. A burden is a picture. We said this on the podcast before. A burden is a word picture that gives you the picture of a boulder, right? That somebody can't carry a burden on their own. You know, we as a church body, as a church family, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we carry those things for each other. So I want to do those things, and sometimes I care too deeply that I end up taking those home. And so what happens, though, is if I'm not careful, then I start to believe that saying no means I don't love people, right? And
oh,
if
wow.
you
yeah.
if you aren't careful, too, like anybody listening, you can put this on your own in your own context. If you're not careful, you'll care so deeply that you'll end up and you'll bear those burdens, right? You'll start to carry them around, that you'll begin to think and equate saying no to not loving, right? And that's just not the case. I mean, this is simple boundary 101, right? That saying no does not mean I don't care. That saying no, or saying not right now, or saying here's when I'm available, and it actually being when you're really available, not you just, you know, creating something out of nothing, that's not loving people, right? Matter of fact, it might actually be the opposite. Saying no might actually be loving people better than if you just said yes to everything all the time, right? Because we are finite human beings, and the pastors have a bad habit, a sinful habit, of instead of pointing people to the Savior, we end up sort of becoming the Savior.
Yeah.
Right? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And there's lots of
that
folks that are like that. If you're a yes person, right? Mm-hmm. If you're the yes person, if you're the person who does not want to disappoint people, right? If you're a people pleaser is the word I was going for, mm-hmm. then you're going to feel this too, right? That what you end up doing is you end up, instead of pointing people to the Savior, you end up trying to become the Savior yourself, not even realizing it. So saying no does not mean that I don't love people. And I have to remind myself of that. If I'm not careful, I'll end up forgetting that. And then the guilt just starts to come, right? It's a quiet guilt whisper of the enemy that ends up saying, you should have done more. You should have tried harder. A better pastor would have gone, right?
Yeah.
A better pastor would have been there. A better pastor wouldn't have missed it. A more loving pastor would have said yes, right? And so the enemy then starts to reinforce this idea that is anti-gospel, that it's all on you and you should be there, right? And you weren't loving enough. And so he does all that stuff to throw this grief and guilt in there, so you end up doing it. And then what'll end up happening is we'll create a situation where the enemy's now used you to take the focus off the Savior and put the Savior focus on you, right? When that's not the case, right? I'm not trying to point people to me. I'm trying to point people to Jesus. And if you say yes to everything all the time, you end up pointing people to you. Well-meaning, you're not meaning to, but you end up pointing people to you instead of to Jesus. So here's something that I am slowly learning. I'm slowly learning this. I'm not great at it. The people-pleasing stuff has had to God's had to do some serious work in me over a long period of time because I'm constantly worried about what other people think of me as a pastor. So like that one little phrase that the enemy uttered, a better pastor would have gone. Man, I think about that all the time. Like a better pastor would have made sure they could be at the men's breakfast and hang out with people. You know, a better pastor would have showed up at the hospital at the right time, you know, and those kind of things. And I'm trying to learn this. Trying to be everywhere for everyone eventually means being fully present nowhere.
So true. Right?
I'm going to say it again.
Yeah.
Trying to be everywhere for everyone eventually means being fully present nowhere. Right?
Or just experience
nowhere
that recently.
Whatsoever. Yeah. Right? When you and what that is too, is it goes back to what we're saying there. The bigger issue behind the surface is that the enemy tricks you into playing God, right? That's playing God. Yet I can be everywhere for everyone all the time. It's a trick. It's not possible, right? And it shouldn't even be an idea or a thought, right? But when we try to do that, when we try to, you know, be all things to all people at all times, we begin to get this savior complex. We begin to be acting like God, and then we are fully present nowhere whatsoever. Sometimes faithfulness looks like saying yes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes in our calling, and especially as a pastor, faithfulness looks like saying yes. And I could try to change that. A lot of times our calling, faithfulness looks like saying yes, right? But sometimes faithfulness looks like saying no, right? And we don't usually equate that. We don't usually equate faithfulness with saying no. But if God is calling me to be, and I think he's calling all of us to be this, right?
Yeah.
Fully present wherever we are, then the only way to be faithful in being fully present wherever we are, right? Being where your feet are at. The only way you can really do that is to say no to certain things, right? So that you can be fully present where you are at the moment.
Right? True. I mean,
simple example of this is just take the phone, right? If we're supposed to be fully, you know, fully aware and available at dinner with our family, then we have to say no to the 4,000 things that are going to beep on the phone, or maybe not beep, maybe just the pressure that we feel to look, because we just, as we were at dinner, we talked about somebody, and the pressure we feel to look and go, let me check on them. Let me see what they posted about it. Let me see how they're feeling. Let me see what's going on. Right now, all of a sudden, I'm not fully present.
Mm-hmm.
With what I was supposed to be present for. So saying yes in that moment to every little beep and ding on the phone is messing up being present where I'm supposed to be. Saying no, though, would help me be present in that moment. And even though the phone part is a small thing, it is just an example of this bigger issue, this bigger idea.
Yeah.
So sometimes faithfulness looks like saying yes. Lots of times it does. But we cannot discount the fact that faithfulness also looks like at saying, Siri just tried to get in my conversation. We cannot forget that faithfulness also means saying no. And it's not just, here's what I've experienced too, Seth. It's not just saying no sometimes. It's saying no a lot. If I'm going to be fully present and I'm also going to point people to Jesus, then I have to say no a whole lot more than I think I do, right? Because my tendency is to go, well, I just got to say a no a few times, right? But still, that is not really enough to be really faithful and fully present in the moment. And I'll be really honest. Saying no does not come naturally to me at all, at all. Every single time I say no, right? Every time. And I've been really trying to practice this over the years. Every time I say no, part of me still worries about disappointing people.
Yeah.
Right? And part of me still, as a pastor, I don't know how many pastors will really admit this to you, but I'm just going to do it because it's just me and you. I don't even know who's listening. I still worry not just about disappointing people. I still think if I say no to this, will they keep coming to church?
Oh.
I think that constantly.
That makes sense.
If I don't, and I work through the whole scenario. If I don't say yes to this particular funeral request or counseling session, if I say no, then they're going to think he's not a good pastor, and then they're going to not come to church. And then in my head, then I go, and then they're not going to go to church. And then I've given them a bad taste for pastors and a bad taste for church, and I'm giving them a bad taste for Jesus, and now they're not going to connect anywhere with their faith, and it's just going to go, and it's just going to sit, and they're going to do nothing.
Wow.
And so I tie those things in all the time. So, you know, I'm trying this. I'm working hard at it. The last few years have been way, way better. You know, way, way better. Like I will, if somebody calls and says, you know, even like a funeral or a death, and they set the date and the time before they called me, I don't have any problem with, if I'm not available, to say, sorry, I'm not available. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, if you'd have called first, we could have picked a date that might work. Right. And I'll offer some alternative times. Like, I can't do Thursday. You know, you already said it, but if you want to change it to Friday, or if you want to change it to Wednesday, I can make that work, you know? So I've gotten a lot better at this, but I still worry all the time about disappointing people, specifically in the church. And then I worry about them getting online and saying something, or just talking, or the real worry is I just sit down and create these fake scenarios in my mind of how I think it's going to play out negatively for them and for me. You know what I mean? It's hard to do. And the reason I think that it's so hard for me still to hold those no's like they are supposed to be is because pastors carry people in their hearts, right, at all times. It is a deeper care and bond than I even know how to describe, right? You know what I mean? Like, it's not just somebody that I see at church. It's not just somebody that, you know, listens to me preach. Like, I begin to care very deeply about people and carry them around in my hearts all the time and worry about them and think about them. And you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's hard for me to explain the level of the depth of care and worry that I have for many, 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 many people, that I pastor. You know, a deeper relationship than, like, I mean, some of them are deeper than others, you know what I mean? But I still worry and think about them. And it can be as simple as somebody that I don't even know them. They become in the church for a small amount of time. I run into them in the lobby. We happen to have this very engaging conversation in the course of a couple of minutes where they tell me something's going on in their life and I pray for them or whatever. And I only met them that one time, and I will walk around for the next couple of weeks or months, or when I see them from stage or in the lobby or something, and I'll constantly be thinking about and worrying about whatever it is that they brought up that time. You know what I mean?
So, yeah.
I think that's the reason that it's still kind of hard to say no, is because I'm still carrying that stuff around. I'm carrying around people's stuff in my heart, you know, deeply. Does that make
yeah.
sense?
Well, I was going to say, to just, if it would comfort you, I have a coworker. He preaches at his church some too. His wife preaches as well. But he was talking about how he carries things and how when he meets people, he can feel their feelings and things like that. He was literally just talking about that with me and my other coworkers today.
That's crazy today.
Crazy timing. Yeah, this morning.
It's really good timing.
Crazy timing.
Yeah, it's just hard to explain. And I'm not saying that other people, you know, I'm not saying that other Christ followers don't carry that level of concern
right.
or whatever.
Right.
It's just hard to explain. You know, the Bible talks about giving an account, that pastors will give an account for other people's, you know, faith walks and lives, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of us being faithful in the gospel. We talked about it in the last one, being faithful to the word. There's an account that's given. And I'm not saying that that's on my mind all the time, but I'm saying that because that's the case, is it possible then that the Holy Spirit also is working in a way inside someone who God has called to pastor his people to hold them to not a higher standard, but a deeper level of worry and concern? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, when you think about this picture of shepherds in the scripture, which is what pastor is, all
yeah.
a pastor is a shepherd. The shepherd is constantly knowledgeable and worried and concerned about those sheep all the time, right? And I imagine that if the shepherd gets a new sheep, he's almost just as concerned and worried about the new one as he is the one that's been hanging around for a long time. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
And then when the sheep have a problem, the shepherd's worrying about it and thinking about it, even after the problem is over with, right? You're thinking, well, I hope this is going okay. I hope this is happening all right. And that is the feel. And I don't think I have some sort of greater sense of empathy than somebody else, right?
Mm-mm.
I don't think it's the case. I think it might just be that the way that God has designed this role in the church is that the Holy Spirit is consistently bringing those things to the mind of the person that God has at least that time and season appointed to care for their souls. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I just think that's the case. And so what I am learning right now is I'm learning that faithfulness is not measured by how exhausted you are.
Yeah.
Faithfulness is measured by endurance, right?
Yeah.
Not how tired you are, right?
That's
not
right.
How, you know, God's not going to look at me and go, you said yes to everything that came up all the time, right? And you wore yourself out and you ran yourself ragged and that was faithful. That's not how the scriptures unfold. Faithfulness is endurance. Faithfulness is making it to the end of what God's called you to do and having enough in the tank and all those things to be able to make it all the way to the end. You know, Paul talks about running the race that's set for us with endurance. Jesus talks about, the writer of Hebrews referenced Jesus and says that for the love that he had, right, that he endured to the cross, right? Endured through the cross. It doesn't just mean getting through it. It means having enough energy in the tank to be able to actually get to the end, right? Versus you know, just wearing yourself out, right? So, and that's what I'm saying. Like, so if faithfulness is measured by endurance, then faithfulness is going to be measured by saying a whole lot of no's along the way so that we can be fully present, right, in everything that we do. And if we try to be everything for everybody all the time, then we are not going to make it to the end, right?
True.
My goal in ministry when I started, Steph, and you were around early on into it, when me and you met, you were a teenager,
mm-hmm.
and I would have been in ministry then, let's see, 2-3 years, 4-5 years, maybe 8-9 years, something in that range.
I believe so.
Right? So much earlier on. And then, of course, you helped start the church and plant this church that we're in, which I was only, I don't know, 31 or so when that happened, right?
That's crazy right? to think.
So when
goodness.
That happened, my goal in ministry was to go all out, all I could give, everything all the time.
Yeah,
lay
you were.
It all on the line. And I'll be honest with you, this just came up recently, right? About 3 years ago. My mindset was this. If I die, if I wear myself out, if I blow my heart up, oh well, right? If I'll just be dead. And my mindset was, and Valerie and the kids will be fine. Dad went out hard for the gospel. That was my thought.
Whoa.
That was my mentality. And 3 years ago, when I went to the doctor, and the doctor said, you're about to have a stroke. If you don't do what I'm telling you to do, then you're going to die, right? And then I was like, oh, man, I don't want to die, right?
Yeah.
I was face-to-face with it. And I realized that my mentality had been to hell with everything else. Go as hard as possible, do everything I could do, right? That was my mentality in ministry. And it was also centered around go as big as possible, grow as much as possible, be all things to everybody all the time, all those things. That was my mindset. And now, and now, 26 years later, you know, my mindset is much more now. And I've really come to grips with this more with a health scare, but then also with Olivia now graduating and being gone and, you know, growing up. And our son is, you know, playing JV baseball and our daughter's in the double digits now. My thought now has been, my goal in ministry now is I just want to keep going as long as God will let me go, right?
That's good.
I want to make it to the end. I really do. I don't know how God sets this up, and I don't know how the calling, I don't know. I'm not saying that God's calling me to stay at the church I planted forever, right? I'm not putting those lines in the sand. That's that's his job. But I want to be able to preach and pastor and lead and teach into my 70s and 80s or however long he'll let me live, right? I want to keep doing it forever and a long time. And my goal has shifted to go big or go home. And now it's kind of changed to go steady till I go home, right? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
That's been the change. And I think that the Holy Spirit is teaching me that endurance matters way more than being exhausted and spent and saying, you know, I worked as hard as I could work. And I don't know, I'm just kind of leaning into that, which means there's some other things I got to do. Like, for example, for endurance to be the thing, I got to make sure that I take care of myself physically and mentally and emotionally and financially, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
But also at the same time, one of the ways it plays out for real, it means is I got to say no. I can't do all things. I can't be all things.
True
and
that.
And that's not a good thing anyway. Like, you don't want that. If I'm not your pastor and you just listen to the message, you don't want one person to be all those things. It is not good for you. It is not healthy. It is not the actual image of the church that God wants us to see and understand and know. I'm going to have to say no and be okay with whatever ends up happening. And stop playing around with a bunch of fake scenarios that I don't know whether they're going to go down or not. You know, mm-hmm. I'm going to have to say no. I don't want to. I would love to be able to have the capacity to be able to say yes to everything. But I have realized, this sounds crazy to say out loud, that I'm just realizing it. But I have realized that I am not God, right? I am not God.
And I know what you're trying to say.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like, you can't do it all. You can't be that strength for everybody. And you know what I mean? You can't I get that.
Yeah.
I get what you're trying to say.
I can't do it. And it, trying to do it, it goes against what he's called me to do in the first place. You know what I mean? So faithfulness, here's what I'm learning again. I'll just say it again. Faithfulness is about endurance. It's not about being exhausted. You know,
I don't know
who's listening right now. I don't know who's listening. But where I heard this first from was from a woman. I heard this first from my wife, right?
Oh,
and so maybe
that's cool.
There's some mamas listening right now and women, wives that need to know this, that you being faithful to who you are and what God's called you to do in your home and your family and your job and your work does not mean exhausted.
Yeah.
It means endurance, right? I think that we want to be able to walk as long as we can and do what God's called us to do on this earth as long as we can possibly do it, right? And that perspective has shifted for me. So I will not keep apologizing for saying no. And I'm practicing that too, like in real time practicing this. So this just happened about a week ago where I got called and asked to do a wedding. Here's a way I put some no's in my life too, right? I only do four a year, first come, first serve. Now, if it's a quick little thing that pops up, like I preach a message on quit living together, you need to get married, and a couple's like, we want to get married, and they want to do it in the office, or they want to do it real fast one day, or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, I'm okay with that. But I'm talking about like full-blown weddings. I only do four a year, first come, first serve. And I have an opening coming up for this year, and somebody called and said, can you do my wedding? And then they gave us the date and the time that they had already selected. And that date and that time fell on something that my family had on our calendar. Not the church, a family, of which I was immediately tempted to just change the family thing, right? But I didn't.
Yeah.
And I've gotten better at that. I didn't. I said, can't do it that day. Already have something. If you want to change it around, look at another date. They're like, oh, we can't. We already booked this. We already booked that. I'm like, and so I practiced this stuff. I practiced not saying sorry. I just said, well, that's too bad. You know, let me know, you know, wish you the best, you know, hopefully, you know, if you need me to refer somebody or something, or if you want to change it up, give us a call back. And I kept myself from saying, well, I'm sorry.
That's
not available for me. Right. Mm-hmm. You know, because I'm trying to, it's not that I was saying, I'm sorry, I can't do it for you. It was in my mind. I know that is a temptation. What I would say, you know, if you just said, sorry, you're saying you're sorry for them, that they don't, you know, that they don't get what they need, right? But for me, I'm trying to practice it actively in just not using the phrase. You know, well, I'll apologize, I can't do that week, or sorry, that won't work. I just didn't use the phrase at all, mm-hmm. right? It was just like, nah, I can't. You know, let me know if we can help in another way. So just trying to practice it for real. that is one of the most tangible things I know that will allow me to focus on faithful endurance.
Yeah.
Is to be able to say no, right? There's other stuff, right? But that is one of the most tangible ones for me right now. So I'm just not going to apologize for it anymore.
Yeah.
This is a tough episode.
Yes, it is.
It's hard to say this stuff out loud, and it's hard for it to now be out in the metaverse, the universe, or whatever they call it, you know. But it's the truth, so the truth's the truth.
Yes.
You know, and I may not have presented it real well, you know.
That's true.
That's right. Don't apologize for it.
You presented it well.
Yeah.
And I think it hit. And honestly, y'all can't see, but I was holding back tears. I was like, don't you dare bust out crying on this mic. It was great. And I can say that whether you're a pastor or not, you can definitely apply this to your life.
Oh,
and there's plenty
so.
Of us that struggle with saying no, or like that feeling of you need to say sorry for saying no. And sometimes your no just needs to be no.
I think that I think that there's two sort of groups of people. Some people don't apologize enough.
Oh, that's true.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, I know some folks that they don't never say they're sorry. They don't never apologize.
And you wish
right?
they would.
You wish they would. And then on the other hand, you got people who apologize too much.
Yeah.
And rarely do we find ourselves in the correct spot on, you know, apologizing the right amount for the right things.
Yeah.
Right? You know, and saying no to things for the right reasons, right?
Yeah.
Is not something we should be apologizing for. So for most of us, and I think a lot of people listening, there's going to be some of you, let me just say it to you, some of you are listening, I'm like looking like there's an audience. There's some of you that are listening.
It's
and
chairs.
You're a jerk and you need to apologize. Like, you need to say you're sorry more. You never say you're sorry. You need to apologize.
Yeah.
But the majority of the people listening, you apologize too much for too many things, too often to too many people.
Yeah,
right?
I feel y'all.
We're working on it.
You
need to back it down, because you don't need to apologize for, you know, you don't need to apologize for things that you're insecure about, and you don't need to apologize for saying no to stuff, and you don't need to
apologize. That's right.
You don't need to apologize for protecting your own self.
Your peace.
Right? You don't. You don't need to apologize for your beliefs.
In the right way, of course.
Right? You don't need to do any of that.
That's right.
And so most of us listening, you can take away from this. You may not be a pastor, but you take away from this is if you want to be able to walk faithfully through this life that God has called you to walk through, one of the big things is you got to quit apologizing so much, right?
Write it down.
Yeah.
On your calendar
for the
year.
That's good stuff right there. I'm glad you said that, because I think what we just said really helped me close this out. Right?
Yes.
I've been stumbling through my words on this because it's sensitive for me. I don't like to say it out loud.
I'm really glad you're talking about it, though, because people need to hear that pastors have dealt with it as well.
You just don't want to come across.
Yes.
You don't want to, you know, I just don't want to come across like some jerk who's insensitive and doesn't care. But I'm telling you, that's not where it roots from at all.
No.
It roots from a place of caring too much.
Yeah.
And not caring about what God wants me to do, and caring about my family and my own health enough.
That's right.
That's where it comes from.
You're right.
So.
That was good.
That was a good one. What number was this? 2-3 what?
2-3-7.
2-3-7. So, anyway, next week we will be talking about that I'm not going to apologize for protecting my family. This is a good one.
Heck yeah.
It's a good one. It very much goes along with this saying no one, right? When I was working on it, I thought it needs to be two separate ones.
Yeah.
Because it's two separate things. The no's, obviously, part of saying no helps protect my family, but there's more to the protecting my family part. So, especially in ministry, especially in the church.
Yeah.
The church can take a pastor's family and chew them up and spit them out.
Yeah.
And expect them to be, I don't know, stuff that they wouldn't expect other people to be. So, anyway, that's what we'll do next.
Yay. Well, thank y'all for joining us.
Yes,
and definitely pray about this topic. If you've gotten all the way through, pray about it. And we hope y'all have a good one.
See you later.
See ya.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us on the Messy Walk Podcast with Pastor Adam Cook. Make sure to follow us for future episodes that will be posted regularly each Wednesday. Have a good day.